This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, and it's time once again for our Charismatic Creature Carnival. I love that music.
Never gets old.
No, and joining me today, as always, is our Charismatic Creature correspondent, producer Kathleen Davis. Hi, Kathleen.
Hey there, Ira. Glad to be back.
Now, I'm sad to say that this is, what, our last matchup for the carnival this fall?
It sure is. If you are just learning about SciFry's Charismatic Creature Carnival, over the last month, we've been celebrating six underappreciated and perhaps unconventional creatures. And because we love a little competition, we've been doing these head-to-head matches between two of them to determine our semifinalists. Next week, our listeners will vote for their favorite of the semifinalists, and we will have our first ever audience-chosen entry of our Charismatic Creature Corner Hall of Fame.
Whoa, Creature Corner Hall of Fame. I can't wait for that one. And I hear that we also have an update about last week. Tell us.
Yes. So if you remember, last week's matchup was between the opossum and the aye-aye. Our listeners went to sciencefriday.com/carnival to vote for their favorite. I'm going to be honest, people felt very strongly about this matchup one way or another, but the votes don't lie, and we do have a winner, Ira, so I would like a drum roll, please.
Here we go, the best I can.
Crawling into our second semifinalist spot to join the mantis shrimp as a Charismatic Creature Carnival semifinalist, the people's choice is the opossum.
I have to say, this is kind of surprising.
But SciFry listeners love the opossum, I've learned.
Wow. Okay. So who are our Charismatic Creature candidates for this week?
So this is our last matchup of the carnival, so really soak it in, Ira. We're celebrating our feathered friends this week. So our first creature, joining us from your nearest city, perhaps even the fire escape outside your window, the ever-present yet mystifying pigeon. The pigeon was nominated by listener Greg from Spring, Texas. Greg calls himself your friendly neighborhood pigeon man. That is his name on Twitter. And he left us this message on our SciFry Vox Pop app.
I nominated the pigeon for the Charismatic Creature Carnival because they are the most overlooked animal on the planet. They are actually one of the most intelligent birds and one of the most intelligent animals around. And they can recognize words, and they recognize themselves in the mirror. And they have an incredible homing ability, and I hope they win.
You know, I would not have picked a pigeon to be a Charismatic Creature candidate. So, okay, Greg is making sort of he's opened the argument.
Yes, so representing the pigeon in the Charismatic Creature Carnival is Dr. Elizabeth Carlin, postdoctoral research fellow at Washington University in St. Louis. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me.
And facing off against the pigeon, a truly incomparable and mysterious creature you would be lucky to see for yourself, it is the one and the only shoebill stork. A couple of people nominated the shoebill stork for our carnival, including listener Eric. He wrote us an email and said, "The shoebill stork is, in my opinion, the most charismatic and weird bird that's living on the planet. It kind of looks like a dinosaur and clacks its beak to make a very strange noise. And it looks a little bit out of time with how big and awkward they are. They are amazing," says Eric.
Yeah, well, let's see how amazing and impressive they are. So let's see what happens.
Representing the shoebill stork in our carnival is Judith Marembe, shoebill researcher and chair of Uganda Women Birders, based in Kampala, Uganda. Welcome, Judith.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I'm so excited.
Well, we're very excited to have both of you here to help us wrap up the carnival. Just a quick note, this segment was recorded in front of a live Zoom audience. And for more information about how to join a future live recording, go to sciencefriday.com/livestream. Okay, enough with the preliminaries. Let the competition begin.
Okay, let's start with the basics here. That's what we always do with our carnival. Elizabeth, this might be a silly question, but as a radio show, we have to ask you. Please describe the pigeon for us.
So pigeons are a medium-sized bird. They're about the size of a football, and they are found all across the world, except for Antarctica, every continent. They are usually often the kind of default is gray with two black bars on their wings. However, there's a whole variety of colors. You might see some red pigeons or some all white pigeons. And that's kind of one of the interesting things I think about them is just that massive variety in plumage color or feather color. And you probably see them walking along the street quite a bit. They're maybe not always up in the air. I've seen pigeons taking the steps, very civilized. So they're one of these kind of very, to me, special creatures that lives in the city alongside us.
Okay, so much for the description of the pigeon. Judith, give us a good description of a shoebill stork.
So the shoebill is a large gray bird with a shoe-shaped bill, from where the name is derived from. So if you see anything that has a bill that looks like a shoe and you find it in Africa, you just know that is a shoe bill. So they are quite large with a height of about 110, 140 centimeters. The wingspan is almost twice the height. They live in wetland habitats, freshwater wetlands. In Africa, you will not find them elsewhere outside Africa except in a zoo. So in Africa, you'll find them in Uganda, Botswana, in Rwanda, Ethiopia, Southern Sudan currently has the highest population. You'll find them in Zambia, in the Republic of Congo, Central African Republic. Some people think it is a stork because of the appearance, but the closest relatives are the pelicans.
So for our American audiences, when I look at a picture of a shoebill stork, to me, it looks a lot like Big Bird from Sesame Street. Our listener, Eric, said in his nomination that he thinks it looks a little bit like a dinosaur. I mean, Judith, what is it like to see a shoebill stork in the wild?
The first time you see it, the reaction is always, wow, the size. It's very large and definitely looks like a dinosaur, something you've never seen before. The cryptic color of the feathers among the papyrus strands and other wetland vegetation make it hard to see. So by the time you see it, you get astonished, you get surprised, and you just love what you see because of the size. So when you the first encounter, what usually is done on a boat, on a canoe, to wade through the wetland, so you can get very close and... When you get very close, it's always astonishing to see it in the floating vegetation, despite the size.
Wow, that's a great description. Elizabeth, I know that pigeons are found, just about everywhere. You see them in large urban cities. You see them all over the place. Why are they so adaptable? What makes them so adaptable?
Pigeons have been evolving alongside humans for the past 5 to 10,000 years. They are native to North Africa and Southern Europe and the Middle East, where we started farming grains and they started living alongside humans. And because of that close relationship with humans, they've moved with us. We have brought pigeons with us as we colonized every kind of part of this world. And what do we do in New York with our trash? We put it out on the street. And that makes this perfect buffet for pigeons and rats. But for pigeons to kind of eat this food, have access to this food, and then we build these tall buildings which mimic the cliff sides that they lived on in their natural habitat, in their native habitat. We also, there's something about feeding a pigeon that is very communal, that dropping a couple of chips and feeding this bird is, I think, something that we all connect with. If you think back to movies like Mary Poppins or Home Alone, there's some joy in feeding these pigeons because it connects us with this nature.
Okay, great answer. Let's go to folks out in the audience. Let's go to Susan from Tracy, California, who has a question about how shoebills see. Right, Susan? Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I've looked at some images on the internet of shoebills, and I always noticed that their eyes are so emotional, just arresting, almost give you a sense that they're sad or they're I don't know. They're enchanting. So what do we know about the vision of the shoebill?
Yes. So the shoebill uses binocular vision. And most of the times, they'll stand still and motionless for 20 or more minutes or even an hour. So when they're hunting, they keep a stare. So the stare is intense when you look at them in the eyes. So when they're hunting, they'll either stand and wait for the prey and then they strike, or they will walk, they will wade and walk slowly within the same area as they wait for prey to strike at the right time. I wouldn't say it's something intimidating or sad, but it's probably the way they were created. And the intense stare also works largely as a defense mechanism. So if you encountered someone for the first time and they gave you such eyes and you were the bad guy, you would definitely walk away.
That's what I do to Ira when he gets too off topic during an interview.
Right. That's right.
So we've been hearing about how patient a bird the shoebill stork is, you know, in their interesting hunting behavior that Judith was telling us about. Perhaps the opposite of a patient bird, maybe the pigeon, just based on walking through a park in New York City and seeing them swarm a person who is eating a sandwich. But what they lack in manners may be remedied by the fact that I think they might be a little bit smarter than people realize. Our nominator, Greg, said that they're, in his opinion, one of the most intelligent animals on the planet. I don't know if that is exactly true, but that's a pretty good argument. And he said that they can recognize words and themselves in a mirror. I mean, Elizabeth, are pigeons smarter than we give them credit for?
I think they're definitely smarter than we give them credit for. Intelligence is obviously a complicated question, and things are evolved to be best suited for their environment. Brain tissue takes up all this energy. And so you could be smart in the sense that if I don't have a complex habitat, I don't need to waste energy on building all this brain tissue. In terms of pigeons, they have some pretty incredible abilities. There's been research showing that they can recognize artwork or different paintings by different artists. There's been some research showing that they may be able to recognize cancer in photographs. And they have this incredible homing sense that we don't quite understand how they're able to do this. So we know that there's these stories of pigeons kind of being these war heroes and bringing messages back to base during World War II. So how were they able to do that? How were they able to deliver these messages back? And how are they able to find their way home? If you put me in a dark box and drove me for a couple hours and spun me around and then said, go home, I would absolutely not be able to find my way home. But these pigeons can do that. And so they have this incredible homing sense where no matter kind of where they're brought, they can return back to that natal area where they're nesting.
Just a quick note that I'm Kathleen Davis, and this is Science Friday from WNYC Studios. Unfortunately, we are about out of time here, so it's time for both of you to give your final arguments for why your creature is the most charismatic of the day. Elizabeth, let's start with you. Why do you love pigeons so much? Why are they the most charismatic creature of this matchup?
For me, pigeons are this great model for evolution. We've been studying them since Darwin. They help Darwin kind of understand selection. And for those of you out there that haven't Googled curly pigeons, please do go and look at what a curly pigeon looks like. There are these really fascinating curly feathers all over the pigeon. I think they're this animal that lives alongside us. And while many might consider them a pest, I think we would be sad if they disappeared from our cities. I think back to TV shows, whenever they want to show urbanization, they'll show a flock of pigeons taking off as the little bumper in between scenes. And so they really are this symbol of human community and togetherness. We release pigeons at weddings. We release these white pigeons at weddings to celebrate love. And they are this giant group of really charismatic, happy individuals.
Wow, that's some defense, Judith. You're going to have be able to match that for your final defense of the shoebill stork. Tell us about why you think the shoebill stork should win this competition. What is it about the bird that you love so much?
So I just love the shoebill. So the shoebill is the most charismatic of them all because it is big. It is the only member of its family in Balea Niceptidae. So if we lost the shoebill, that is losing a whole family. So the shoebill is globally threatened all over the world because it is faced by many threats, majorly brought about by human disturbance, such as habitat loss, fishing, hunting for pets, and zoo trade. A shoebill can cost up to $20,000 for someone purchasing it simply to put it in a zoo or keep it for their own entertainment. So, yeah, we cannot lose the shoebill, or else we'll never see a comparison of a dinosaur. Since the dinosaur is gone, we have to keep the shoebill.
Okay, Ira, we're out of time here. Do you think our listeners have enough information to make a decision about which creature they think is the most charismatic?
I think they do. So let's explain how people vote.
Our listeners can go to sciencefriday.com/carnival. sciencefriday.com/carnival to cast your vote. You have until next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time to choose your favorite in this matchup. Will the shoebill stork or the pigeon come out on top? That is up to you, the listeners.
And I don't think there's any way we can predict how our listeners vote if we take our history as any case, right? Thank you, Judith Marembe, shoebill researcher and chair of Uganda Women Birders, based in Kampala, Uganda. Also, Elizabeth Carlin, postdoctoral research fellow at Washington University in St. Louis. Thank you for making some great arguments for your birds. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's been a pleasure joining you.
Thank you. Sci-Fi producer Kathleen Davis, thanks for being our carnival ringleader once again.
Thanks, Ira. I'll be back next week to cap off the carnival.